So thankful to be here this morning, Lord. All of us in good health and having come through all the sickness, Lord, and you brought us through safe, and we're so thankful for it. And Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we can partake of this word. And we, Father, we pray you'll break it to us this morning, take us a little deeper, draw us up a little closer, Lord, and whisper those secrets in our ear. Lord, to build this relationship that you are the author and the finisher of. Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And you be seated. I told Brother Mike I walked off and left my phone this morning, and my watch was dead, and so I didn't have nothing to record, so I remembered to come out on the iPad, so I had the iPad, so I turned it on. So I always like to have a backup. So. So the last time we talked about, this past Wednesday, we talked about basically about how that old perverted life started, how the old soul come to be, as people call it, the old soul, which is just a perversion. And but today we're going to talk about this one that we have in this hour, the one that we're receiving in this hour, this relationship that we're coming to, this eternal life that God's sharing with us in this hour. And so we want to do that, and then as we go into this, we'll finish it up on Wednesday, I'm hoping. So this first quote: if you really want to understand the Godhead, if you really want to understand the sonship in eternity, you pray God gives you a revelation of this first quote right here. I mean, there's plenty more that he can do it with. He can do whatever he wants. But this first quote, he says it's so perfect. There's no way I could think of that could be thought or said any better than what he says this morning. Because let's just read it. Brother Branham said, you say, Brother Branham, you say eternal word. Yes, sir. Eternal never did begin. Eternal had no end. And we've talked about a word being an expression. How many times have we talked about that? And in our thinking, we think, well, if it wasn't a word before, now it's a word, then it had a beginning, right? Well, listen to what he says. Eternal has no end, and a word is a thought expressed. It's the eternal doing something. The eternal God, he's doing something. He's saying something. He's making some action. So there's no way that anything God does expressing himself cannot be eternal also. So that, there you go. There's a first step towards being a son right there. We read that before. And a word is a thought expressed. That was God's thinking before there was a world or a star, a moon or anything. That was God's thinking what he would do. And then he does it. So what he does can't be any less eternal than what he is. And when he spoke the word, it's eternal, because he can produce nothing but something eternal. See that? There was no son before that, but he thought about making himself a son, making him, expressing himself as a son. And so then he did it. And that's eternal when he done it. It's just like, you know, when we first started looking at water baptism, And we talked, and there was a quote in there about it being God's eternal prescription. How in the world is something that he started when he come here and died on the cross and give that message at Pentecost, how is that eternal? It looks like it has a beginning, don't it? But that was always God's red scarlet line through those church ages. It was always that. It was always God's plan to bring it that way. And so because it was always that way, it's eternal. It doesn't because they were baptizing in the Old Testament, because they weren't. You know, you see what I'm saying? Okay, we'll move on. That's the only way we have eternal life. Now listen close. Is when we get rid of this perverted one, this perverted life, and we get eternal life. So somehow or another, the perverted one got here, and so there's another way the eternal one's going to get here. It's going to be by God's actions. It's not going to be by God making something and then Satan destroying it. It's going to come through all that. I hope that makes sense. That we spent a lot of time this last time on that, and so I'm not going to go back over that. That's the only way we have eternal life, is when we get rid of this perverted life. Is that perverted life the old husband? Is that perverted life you? The Ram said, you have to die and be born again. And he said, that husband has to die. And he perverted something that God had done. That's where that first union come from. That perverted life. Because something had to be done, because that God created, there was nothing wrong with it. That was what he gave Adam. That was how he made Adam. But then Adam decided to do something different because of the situation he was in, and that perverted it. And so then we have to get rid of that one. We have to get rid of that one. And that was what God intended all time. And so you think, well, if God can't produce anything but what's eternal, then how did he do that? How did he produce something like that? It's because what we just said, that scarlet thread was coming through that. Predestination was coming through that. We talked about that last time, how that there had to be a fallen man in order for God to come and show who he was. Because we'll find out here in a minute, that's the only way any of us was going to get eternal life, was through that one relationship of Jesus Christ. That one thing, God expressing himself. So when the word comes right through, no, I'm back up here. There's the only way we have eternal life is when we get rid of this perverted life and get eternal life. That's God, Zoe, the word right in you. And when the word comes, and then the word comes right through you and manifests itself. Now we're getting in that place where Christ was, where he only did what he was shown to do. He only said what he was supposed to say. And that's where we want to be, because that's the true union right there. So the rest, most of the rest of this is in Ephesians, but we are going to drop into communion a little bit at the end here. Now, you will notice that Jesus is walking alone in the midst of the churches. There is no one else with him. Neither indeed can there be. Because this is the way he's going to share eternal life with these people. And he's carrying this out to make it happen. He alone wrought her salvation. And having purchased her with his own blood, he owns her. He is her Lord and master. She gives him all the glory, and that glory he will not share with another. There is no pope with him. There's no archbishop with him. You see, we're getting closer and closer to that union. As it came through the church ages, what happened? Now we're getting to that union. There's no archbishop with him. Mary, the mother of his earthly body, is not with him. He does not speak and turn to the Father, for he is the Father. He does not turn and give orders to the Holy Spirit, for he is God, eternal Spirit. And it is his life that is flowing and pulsating in the church, giving her life. And without him, there would be no life. Salvation is of the Lord. There's no one with him. There was no one with him when he trod the fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. It was not another. Brother, if this don't tell you who Jesus Christ is and erase all your doubt, anybody who has any doubt about the Godhead, I don't know what would do it. There was no other with him when he trod the fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. It was not another, but him who hung upon the cross and gave his blood. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega of our salvation. We are a spouse to him and not another. We don't belong to the church. We belong to him. His word is law. Creeds and dogmas, bylaws and constitutions have no effect on us. No effect. They don't affect us at all. We see right through the lies and the perversions of Satan. Brothers and sisters, this is promise after promise after promise after promise he's laying right before us. Bylaws and constitutions have no effect on us. Yes, it is Jesus alone who walks in the midst of the churches. It is God in her, willing and doing of his good pleasure. Never forget that. You have only one relationship to God, and God has only one relationship to you. That is Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. So you see why there was no way that Adam could bring that relationship. It had to come through Jesus. If Adam had stood the test, if the fall had not come, then that's where life would have come through right there. And it was ordained that it would come through Jesus, and our relationship would be to Jesus, that we're ordained and predestinated in Jesus. And so it had to be that way. There was no other way around it. And so when he did that in the garden, he was producing something eternal. He was. It just didn't happen right then. It happened thousands of years later. He was producing the eternal. Amen. He's producing the eternal. I messed up that. Well, I put them together. Sorry. All right. So let's go to the next. Are we skipping down here? Just a few paragraphs here. To 101. Now, why did this have to be so? Now, he's talking about in the garden, how it's set up and everything. And I'm breaking in right there. Why was it that the seed of the serpent must come this way? Man was created by God. Man was to be the temple of God, the place of God's rest. The Holy Spirit, the place of God's rest, the Holy Spirit was man, the temple. And I took that scripture out there, but I left the thing if you want to go read it. Satan has known this all along. Satan knew all along that man was going to be God's temple. That was his plan. And he also wanted to do the same thing. Isn't that interesting? Satan knew all along that he wanted to use man. God was going to use man for his temple, and he wants to do the same thing. That sounds a little bit like when he said, I can make a better kingdom than Michael's kingdom. Where is the kingdom of God? It's within you. I'm not going into that this morning, but just be thinking about it. He also wants to indwell man, even as God so does. He can't create his own kingdom. I guess I'm going there. He can't create his own kingdom. Satan can't. He has to pervert one that God already has. And that's just exactly what we went over last week. God created that first garden. He put Satan in the garden. All right. But God was reserved. God has reserved to himself that right. So the right to indwell man is only for God. Satan cannot do it. Satan cannot indwell man like God can indwell man. And how was that? God alone appeared in human flesh. Satan could not and cannot do that. He does not have creative powers. So Satan can't make himself bigger. He can pervert more stuff, but he can't multiply himself like God can. You see what I'm saying? All right. He does not have creative powers. So anything he could do was pervert. The only way for Satan to accomplish what he wanted to do was to enter the serpent in Eden. Now listen how he entered the serpent in Eden. He did not become a soul. I don't care who tells you that. You ain't going to find that in this message. It's not there. Just because Brother Ram said he had a place for a soul, that don't start jumping and making assumptions, because that'll make a mess. Look what he said. He done. Because remember, that soul is a creation. Our soul is a creation. Remember that. And if we turn around and make Satan a creator, we give the serpent a soul. He decided to go into Satan, into the serpent, and be a soul. Then you make Satan a creator. That's just a mess. Don't even go there. Look at what the prophet said, how he come into that serpent. The only way for Satan to accomplish what he wanted to do was to enter the serpent in Eden, even as he entered by evil spirits into the swine. Is that what God done? God don't enter even. They don't even have a soul. And nor do they have a place for one. Nothing. Brother Bram never said anything about there being a place for one except for the serpent. But he says he's entering the serpent the same way he entered these evil spirits in the swine at Gadara. God does not enter animals, but Satan can and will to accomplish his ends. He could not have a child directly by Eve, as did God by Mary. So he couldn't create one in a woman. So he entered into the serpent and then beguiled Eve. He seduced her, and by her did Satan have a child vicariously. And Cain bore the full spiritual characteristics of Satan and the animalistic, sensual, fleshly characteristic of the serpent. No wonder the Holy Spirit said that Cain was of that wicked one. He was. Amen. So, and we know that this fleshly serpent seed was destroyed in the flood, right? So this is not the one we're concentrating on, but because he was able to bring it this way, what did Brother Branham say the reason that we come like we did? He said Satan perverted God's way, but you come anyway. That's what he said. That's what this is right here. When Satan perverted God's way and we came anyway, that's what this is right here. No wonder he got them to start having sex. No wonder the Holy Spirit said that Cain was that wicked one. He was. Now, we're skipping on down just a little ways. Still in the same message in Ephesians. Now that we come this far, let me try to crystallize your thinking on this subject so that you can see the necessity of our going into the serpent seed doctrine, as I have. We started with the fact that there was two trees in the midst of the garden. The tree of life was Jesus, and the other one is definitely Satan because of what come forth of the fruit of that tree. So when they took that lie, remember what Brother Ram said, that Eve died spiritually. She took that spiritually before she actually done the act. She turned against God spiritually before she'd actually done the act. I can bring that quote if you want me to. Now we have to come this far. Let me try to crystallize your thinking on this subject. So you see the necessity of going into the serpent seed. Okay, I got that. I'm sorry. Okay, now then we know that both of these trees had a relationship to man that they would never have been, or they would never have been placed there. So God, producing something eternal, did this. Don't let me, as much as I bared down on it this last time, I don't want you to think there was some kind of mistake God made, or there was something out of order or anything else. That last service, God done that. He set it in place because he was producing something eternal. He thought of himself as being a man, and it transmitted him down to be Jesus Christ. That's what's happening. That's what we're reading here. God producing something eternal. There must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God in their relationship to mankind and to himself, or we could not impute omniscience unto God. So in other words, if they were there and God messed up and put them there, then you can't say God knew everything. Because if he knew everything and put it there, then he made a mistake. So he didn't make a mistake. He put it there on purpose and knew what would happen. This is all true so far, is it not? Now, the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. Now, we've talked about the purpose of God being to share his eternal life. The purpose of God was to express himself. The purpose of God was to have fellowship with his thoughts. All these are the purpose of God. He wanted to express himself, to give him reason and purpose for being. He had all these different things that he's mentioned along the way. They're all God doing this same thing in man. It's different aspects of it, but it's the same. It's the same thing. God doing the same thing. In Ephesians 1:4, I'm not going to read all this, but just a little here. Because he just said about sharing eternal life with man. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so he was going to bring that from the beginning. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All right, so let's go on over and pick up right here after the Revelation 13. So he just got through saying the purpose of God was to share eternal life with man. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in flesh. And before anything ever started, that was Jesus Christ, right? But when he made the garden, it was still Jesus Christ. That was the way it was going to be. I know I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over now, but I don't want you to miss it at all. Just because I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over doesn't mean you've heard the same thing over and over. So I don't want to fail down on this job, you know. If I feel like he wants me to say it over, I'm going to say it over. So I'm sorry if it starts to become monotonous for you. But that life, that eternal life that he was going to share, could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifested in flesh. So could it be shared? When he put Adam back there and put him on equal basis, could that be the way it was shared? Under a covenant that was, Brother Branham said, was not eternal, there's no way it could have been shared that way. But he could come through that, that bringing the fall, because he's bringing the eternal. See? All right. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. It's a part of it, see? It's a part. This plan has to be to the praise, was to be, of the praise to, I'm sorry. This plan was to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. And now listen closely. God being our Savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation. He had to predestinate one that required salvation. And we read how he did that last week. Or we did all along, but we really bared down on it Wednesday. In order to give himself reason and purpose of being. That is 100% correct. And multitudes of the scripture bear it out, as does the very pointed verse of Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. It's just almost exactly like what he said over here a while ago, that God Zoe, the word right in you, and I'm sorry, I skipped it there. You have only one relationship to God, and God has only one relationship to you, and that is Jesus alone. And then he comes right back and says this. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Man could not directly come and partake of that tree of life in the midst of the garden. He could not. That eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first. That's twice now he said it. Amen. But before God could raise and save a sinner, he had to have a sinner to raise and save. Man had to fall. And the fall, which would be caused by Satan, had to have flesh to make fall. Satan had to come through flesh, see? That's the only way he could spread his doctrine. Had to come through flesh also. But Satan could not come through human flesh to make the fall, as would Christ come in human flesh to restore the fallen. So he couldn't come and make his own person. He had to use the serpent. But there was an animal, the serpent, so close to man that Satan could get to that beast, and through that beast, he could get to human flesh and cause the fall and inject himself thereby into the human race. He injected himself into the human race, not just by getting in the serpent and having sex with Eve. He injected it because she accepted that doctrine. He injected himself, his doctrine, into that. That's why it's so important that we don't accept anything that's not the truth, because Satan is still peddling his doctrine. He's still trying to sell it to people. That's why, you know, Brother Branham was so hard. Do not, you know, it's every word. So close to man that Satan could get to that beast, and through that beast, he could get to human flesh and cause the fall and inject himself thereby into the human race. Even as Jesus would one day come and inject himself into the human race, into human bodies. Now, people read that and they think, oh, he did the same thing Satan does. And he just got through telling you a page or two before that Satan can't do what God does. So we have, Satan does things one way. And we also know that Satan took the intellect. He took the mind and God took the soul. So we know that they couldn't have done the same thing. It's not about the same thing. Thus, what God worked out here. I'm sorry, I jumped way down. Even as Jesus would one day come and inject himself into the human race, into human bodies, even to the extent of a resurrection, even to the extent of a resurrection, he would inject himself into human bodies, even to that extent of a resurrection, wherein we would have bodies like unto his glorified one. Thus, what God worked out here in the garden was his predestinated plan. Now, I could have just read you that one quote, I guess, right away, but all the words are there for a reason. You know, when I say this is the same or that's the same, I'm not trying to do away with that part of the message. I'm trying to let you see so that Satan doesn't confuse things is all. And he tries to, boy. Thus, what God worked out here in the garden was his predestinated plan. And when Satan had brought about that which was necessary to the purpose of God, then man could not get to the tree of life in the garden. Certainly not. It wasn't time. It wasn't time. But an animal, because there's only one way that he said he's going to share eternal life. And it wasn't time for that yet. Was it time for that to be shared? He only had one way. But an animal had caused the fall, had it not? Let animal life be shed, was taken in his blood shed, and then God had communion with man. Then there was to come a day when God would appear in flesh, and by means of his humiliation. See, that's why you can't separate Jesus and the Father. You can't separate them. There was to come a day when God would appear in flesh. That was, Brother Graham said, that was God's flesh. Is God flesh? In Jesus Christ, he is. And in all of his children, he is. And by the means of his humiliation, you think about that. Brother Graham said that that's why Satan done what he done, stuck the stinger of death in him, because God fooled him. He said God would not let people spit on him and do what they done to Jesus. He said God wouldn't do that. See, Satan didn't know God. And that's why he missed it. He still don't know God, because God is by revelation. By means of his humiliation, he would restore fallen man. Brother and sister, if that don't tell you how much he loves you, that God, who created all things, would come down and do that to show you, to give you. That's how he wanted to give you the life. That's how he wanted to share it. He wasn't just going to say, here's some eternal life. No, he was going to show you how much he cared about you and then give it to you. You talk about amazing, brother. I don't know what's any more amazing than that, than actually being one with him after he gives it to you. That's about the only thing I can think of. He would restore fallen man and make him a partaker of that life eternal. Once you see this, you can understand the serpent seed and know that it was not apple. No apple Eve ate. No, it was the degradation of humanity by intermingling the seed. Now, I know in answering one question, another one is apt to come up. And people ask me, if Eve fell that way, what did Adam do? For God lays the blame on Adam. That is simple. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. And before one speck of stardust was made, the word, God's law, was there exactly as it is written in our Bible.
Amen.
And all these other things that we have read, those things were written there too. This morning, that there was only one place of worship. There was only one place he was going to share eternal life. Before one speck of stardust was made, Exactly as it is written in our Bible. Now, the word teaches us that if a woman leaves her husband and goes with another man, she is an adulteress and is no longer married, and the husband is not to take her back. That word, and that was where every one of us was, brother and sister. Every last one of us spiritually was in that place. The word was true in Eden, as it is true with Moses, when Moses wrote it in the law. The word can't change, and Adam took her back. He knew exactly what he was doing, but he did it anyway. She was a part of him, and he was willing to take her responsibility upon him. He would not let her go. So Eve conceived by him. He knew she would. He knew exactly what would happen to the human race. And he sold the human race into sin that he might have Eve, for he loved her. And we just got through reading how that God, because he loved us, came and was humiliated for us. He was humiliated by our sin to pay for us. And to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. So him that overcomes is going to get to eat of this tree that God brings through the flesh of Christ, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a thrilling thought is this, that the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which could not be approached unto because of the fall of Adam, is now given to the overcomer. It's given to the overcomer. The flaming sword of the garden cherubim has been sheathed. Now it sounds like, okay, so now you can have the tree as long as you overcome. So now it's like it sounds, he's giving you a requirement. He's not giving you a requirement. He's told you that you're going to be an overcomer. The flaming sword of the guarding cherubim had been sheathed, keeping the people away from the tree, remember? But it was not sheathed ere its blade was bloody with the blood of the Lamb. Let us meditate upon this truth while we consider why the tree was denied to Adam and his descendants, but now is allowed again. Brother and sister, you look through the church ages and you find where some minister said that, where some messenger said that. This is for today. Why the tree was denied to Adam and his descendants, but now allowed again. Had anything to do with the seals coming off? Does it have anything to do with that? Maybe. God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. And we started way back yonder, we talked about that. Man is going to express God's words. In Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by. A life lived by the word would be the word expressed. That is true, is it not? But did Adam live by that word? No, because he was to live by every word, and he failed to take heed to every word. Then there was arose a Moses. What a great and mighty man he was. Yet he also failed to live by every word. And that prophet, the type of the great prophet to come, failed in anger to obey the word. And there was also David, the great king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. He fell by adultery when he was tempted. But eventually, in the fullness of time, there come one, the head, the one that was coming the whole time, brother and sister, the one he was going to provide the eternal expression that he was coming with. Even Jesus, who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then was Satan foiled. For here was one who lived by it is written. He lived by it. It was the bubbling brook in him. That's what he lived by, was that word that's written. And that masterpiece of God overcome by reflecting God's word. Then was this manifested perfect one, after he had overcome by God's word, then he was took. Then was he manifested perfect, one given to the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for the perfect sacrifice. And on the tree, he received the wounds unto death, that we by him and because of him might eat of the tree of life, and that life freely given would enable us to overcome and express the word of God. So the life he gives you is what's going to cause you to overcome. It's his life. And we've talked about this before. It's his faith. And I sent y'all a quote out. Y'all see that? Then I sent out. It's Brother Bram said, faith is coming in contact with God. All right. And now to these sons of God, who by him overcome, are given the privilege of the paradise of God and the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, what can be better than that? The constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. There will never more be any separation from him. Like I said, promise after promise after promise. And that's for this hour, brother, sister. It's ours. Whether he goes, his bride will go. And if that's the case, we have to know when he's going, when he's moving, so we can follow him. Whether he goes, his bride will go. What is his, he shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. And all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ is, he shares with her. In the joint heir relationship, the secret things will be revealed and the dark things will be made plain. Promise after promise after promise. We shall know as we are known. There will be no misunderstandings. And we shall be like him. And this is the heritage of the overcomer who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony to Jesus Christ. How we long for that day when the crooked roads will be straightened. And we'll be with him time without end. May that day hasten its appearance. And may we hasten to obey this word and thereby prove ourselves our worthiness to share his glory. So he that call of faith that says to pull up closer and cut off everything, heed it, because it's producing something. God's still producing that eternal. He can't produce anything that's not eternal. How many? And how we long for that day. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How tragic it is that this church age did not listen to the Spirit. And this is Ephesians, the first one. Instead, it listened to man. But thank God, in the last age, there will be a group rise up, the true bride of the last day, and she will listen to the Spirit. What did he just say? That wherever she goes, he'll go. Wherever he goes, she'll go. And she'll and there won't be no more separating them ever again. We'll turn by the pure word. I'm sorry. And she will listen to the Spirit. And in that day of gross darkness, now we read about gross darkness, didn't we? He's placing it for us now. In the day of gross darkness, the light will return by the pure word. This is what we talked about in 1964 when he preached Shalom. He talked about gross darkness coming upon the earth. He pointed out the last church age, the moon phase there, darkening out. And then later on in that year, he declares it has happened, like somewhere around in the middle of 64 there or something. And now he's talking about it here in the church age. In that day of gross darkness, in the day of gross darkness, he's talking about light. The light will return by the pure word and will return to the power of Pentecost to welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We saw that happen, brother and sister. All right, so we're going to close here in this one more place here. We got in communion. And Brother Branham is talking about, we just talked about a while ago, getting rid of that perverted life so that you can get the eternal. And Brother Branham gives an example here that's just beautiful. Like in the book here, in the spot, and the spot there, we was talking about the two books being one, the book of life. The first book of life coming up was when you were born. That was your natural birth. And last Wednesday, we spent a long time showing you how that natural birth come to be and where that come from. See, and so Brother Ram's going to start talking about his own natural birth. He's going to sort of type it with what he just said about the books. But then one time, way back down in there, there was a little grain of life as I was explaining to some of the young sisters at the house this afternoon. See, there's a little grain of life laying there that you wonder, where did it come from? What these strange things? Remember we talked about, Brother Ram says, staggering out of this church into the other church and different things like that. I was saying this, taking for myself, like you was going to say, William Branham, well, 40 years ago, the William Branham isn't the same one tonight. If someone back there would say, William Branham was a rank rascal, see, because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. In their nature, I was a sinner because they had sex, and they had sex because the fall in the garden, you see, that's how come he was like he was. That's how come his life here become to be that. If somebody back there would say William Branham was a rank rascal, see, because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham, in their nature, I was a sinner. I come to the world a liar, and all the habits of the world lay right in me. Now, he's talking about the first book. He just started to talk about it, and then he's just giving us an example of it. I came to the world a liar, and all the habits of the world lay right in me. But down in there was another nature present. See, predestinated was there by God. See, there was another William Branham. Now he's talking about the other book. In the same body, see, two natures in there. Only to the elect. Well, I only cater to one. And as I growed, I grew as a baby. First thing you know, I become a liar. As soon as he can talk, we all become liars. Become everything else that's a sinner. Because I raised up that way. But down in there was a little speck of life all the time. And we're talking about eternal life. Being God's sharing his eternal life with us, but he's saying there's a speck of life already in there. So I always wondered about that. So we're going to find out here in just a minute. I used to remember as a little boy, I hope I'm not holding you too long, but knowing, sitting out on the creek bank, I'd sit there and look around at nighttime. Pop and Mom, they are gone on now to their rest. And them days, they were sinners. There was no Christianity in our homes at all. And oh my, drinking and parties and carrying on, it made me sick. Before he was ever born again, it made me sick. That's what he said. He's talking about those strange things. See, that's that other nature. Making itself known, like in the predestination in that little woman there. When Jesus said something, it struck that predestination. Because there's nothing else there with. Natural life wasn't going to catch it, but the predestination did. And this is Brother Branham talking about it happening in his life like that. And we could see it all in our lives, ourselves. No Christianity in our homes at all. And oh my, drinking and parties and carrying on, it made me sick. I'd take my lantern and my dog and go to the woods and stay all night. And in the wintertime, I'd hunt till the party was over, maybe daylight in the morning. You can think how lonely that was. You know, I read the other day where Brother Branham said when he was a boxer, he said he used to box, and he said that he'd get in there, and he told me the name of the guy. It was 6 second something. I can't remember his name, but he would knock a man out in 6 seconds. So that guy, that he got his name for that. Well, that man was older and he was training Brother Branham to fight. And every so often he'd hit Brother Branham just as hard and knock him clean out of the ring, he said, sometimes. Hit him hard, knock him down on the ground, by knock him out. And he'd be like, why are you doing that? What's the purpose in that? And he said, what would happen is when you get so hit so hard like that, that the blood, he said, goes away from your heart or something. I think it's the way he explained it. I can give you the quotes. You can go back and read it. But he was saying that basically you're in shock when you get hit like that. And he said, the body takes so long to recover. And he said, if you don't recover quick, you're going to be down for the 10 count and you're out. And he said, you got to train your body to recover. And he said, this is the only way to do it. He said, you might not like it now, Bill, but you'll appreciate it later on. And he said, and sure enough, he said, you get hit one time in the ring. And he said, then you'll realize what you're talking about. So I was just thinking about these things that we go through, that he went through, how they walk along like that, just you and the God, that he's building something. Sometimes it don't look like eternal, but he's producing eternal, because that's the only thing he can do is produce eternal. Trust him through everything. Trust him. He's producing the eternal. Amen. All right. Then paragraph 48, then I think of how that times, then being out there in the summertime, set my sticks and put them down for a little windbreak where it, if it rained, lay there and have a pole sticking in the water, fishing, my old coon dog laying there. And I'd say, looky here, you know, last winter, I camped right here one night and I built. Now he is still talking about them two books. He's not stopped talking about them two books yet. He's still talking about them. I built a fire right here when I was waiting for my old dog here to tree. And I had a fire here and it was froze 5 inches down in the ground. But little flower, where did you come from? See? Well, and where'd you come from? Who come out here and planted you? And what hothouse did they bring you out of? Or what about it? Where'd you come from? See, that little flower, I'd say, why, it was froze and everything, and I built a fire on top of here. It was froze out. He built the fire on top of it and then burned it down. Besides the freezing element, there was the heat element laying there on a big old log where I burned you. And yet here you are and you're alive. See the old flower and the new flower? He's talking about, you see what he's talking about. Where'd you come from? What was it? It was another William Branham. The one that come forth after all that freezing and burning and all that. That was the William Branham. There was another William Branham. See, a little spot of eternal life down there from the genes of God, the word of God that was placed in there. Each one of you can think of similar things. See, it was working. That was working. It's been working since you were born. It's been working. Then look up at the trees and I think, Leaf, I seen you fall off last year. And why are you back there again? Where'd you come from? What brought you here? See, it was that eternal life working in that body, coming through all the time. See, he don't express anything but something eternal. And then one day, as I walked up, the voice talking. See, he's getting ready to switch lives here. Old William Branham to new William Branham. One day, as I walked on, that voice talking. Don't ever smoke, drink, and so forth. And the young fellas and all got older. See, there was something moving. But yet, all at once, I looked up and I said, I am not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. There is something calling. And like my little eagle, I'm not a chicken. There's something up yonder somewhere, oh great Jehovah. Whoever you are, open up. I want to go home. There is something in me calling. And then I was born again. Then the old William Branham went away. And the new William Branham took over. How did that happen? That little life was laying there. The life of water was poured upon it. The life of water was poured upon that life. You see that? And there's other scriptures just like this. And then it began to grow. Now the old life was forgiven. There's a union right there, brother and sister. When that water of life is poured upon that predestinated life and it begins to grow, that is the union right there. Now that old life was forgiven, but in the sea of God, put into the sea of God's forgiveness to never be remembered against me no more. See, now we stand justified as though we never had sinned in the presence of God. That's the way. See, that is the Lamb's Book of Life being made known now, not this old one. Not the Lamb's Book of Life in part, but in whole. I hope I didn't jump around too much there. I hope that makes sense. But we're going to go more into the union next on Wednesday. And it might be a little long on Wednesday, but we're recording it so you can listen later. But I don't like to hold you long, but sometimes it might go that way, so we'll see. Let's stand. Do you love him? Do you feel just a little bit closer to him this morning than you did when you come? That's, Brother Ram said, you know, you come out, when you go in, you'll come out a little closer or a little further away. So if you got a little closer, then I praise God that something that could happen. So I don't have any songs. I'm just going. But I'll ask Brother Michael if he'll come and sing us something.
Sing I'm Redeemed. I love divine. My side has been changed, baby. Let's just give my hand clap. Amen. Let's sing Victory Is Mine.
Victory is mine.
Message and just to hear these words. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together, Lord, and hear the words of life, Lord, and we know what they mean to us. And we pray that you continue to let it grow in us, Lord, and draw us close to you, each word, each line, each phrase, Lord. Be with us the remainder of the day now in this life and watch over us and give us your guidance and leadership in all things that we do. Jesus Christ's name. Amen.